The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Moshe Hillel Kaufman.
Baruch haba, we're doing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Simon Samach Hei, Hilchas Ribbis. Sifrim Chaf Hei Thu Lamed. So we ended off the other day saying how even if you have a Yid who's lending to a Nachri, if there's a Yid who's a guarantor for principal and interest, that also is often a Ribbis problem. Or the other way around, you have a Nachri who's lending to a Yid, and there's another Yid who's guaranteeing that principal and interest, then that also lends itself to being a problem with Ribbis. So now we're going to give some additional examples where we have three parties, two Yidin and one Nachri, and different people are in charge of guaranteeing or lending. Siv Chav Hei. Any Yehudi Sha'amar Yisrael Lover Bishvili Ma'is Beribis Yisrael Amashkin Zeh. If a Nachri goes to another Yid, goes to Ruvain and say, can you find someone to lend me money on this collateral? And he gives Ruvain the collateral to go find a Jewish lender for. Or filo ein anaisin lemashkin elishtachayv, or the Nachri doesn't even give Ruvain a piece of collateral, but he gives him a promissory note, and he asks him to go find someone who'll lend him with ribbis. V'amava soymech es atzmai rak al amashkin al ashtar shel ein Yehudi. And so Ruvain finds Shimon, who's willing to lend with ribbis to this Nachri, based on the collateral only. And there's no achrayas on Ruvain the shliach, meaning if the loan goes bad, Shimon, the lender, can only go to the Nachri to get the money. Ruvain has no responsibility whatsoever. Mutter, that's allowed, because there's no guaranteeing here. We're dealing straight. It's Shimon who's lending Nachri, the Nachri the money with ribbis, which is not a problem, even though Ruvain is in, Shimon is lending and Ruvain is in the middle. Now, even if Ruvain, the shliach in our example, is the one who's shuttling over the ribbis from the Nachri and giving it to Shimon the lender, Shimon's allowed to accept that money. As long as the lender, Shimon, makes sure that he understands that all the responsibility for the collateral and the money that's going back and forth is fully the responsibility of Shimon himself, the lender, in case something should go wrong with it. And on the shliach, Ruvain, there's no achrayas. The thing here, the chiddush, is that normally we say that there's ein shlichus la'akum l'chumra. When it comes to a Nachri, we said that there is no shlichus l'chumra. So what's happening? In effect, if you just take a snapshot and look at the picture between Ruvain and Shimon, is Ruvain is giving Shimon a piece of collateral and paying him ribbis for the loan that Shimon gave the money over to Ruvain to. So it looks as if there's a ribbis issue. But we're saying no. Since the final destination of that money is the Nachri, so as long as Ruvain does not have any achrayas whatsoever, be it on the collateral, be it on the ribbis that's being paid, so we therefore it's mutter because the transaction is truly a transaction between the Nachri and Shimon the lender. Sifra Chavav. V'chein Yisrael, shenasan mashken ashtachoy v'lisol chaveroi. And the same concept, but with switching around the players, where Ruvain is going to give a mashkin to Shimon, the other Yid, Chaveru, Sheyilva Bishviloy Alzeb Mois Beribis Be'en Yehudi, so that now Shimon will go look for a Nachri who want to lend the money to Reuven based on Reuven's collateral. Im Ha'enu Yehudi Enu Semech Rak Alamashkin Alashtar, so long as the Nachri lender has his sole reliance on that Mashkin or on the promissory note that Reuven gave. And Shimon, who's the shliach for Ruvain in this example, doesn't have any achrayas whatsoever, and the Nachri can't go after him if there's a default. Mutter, so then it's allowed. Hilva Tchila Yisrael Chaveroi or Mashkin. And even if, let's say, Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, and Reuven gave the Mashkin to Shimon, and Shimon gave him an interest-free loan based on that collateral. And now afterwards, Reuven tells Shimon, "Lavei Mois, me'enu Yehudi beribis al mashkein zeh, v'alai l'shama ken v'aribis." So now Shimon wants to stop with this free loan that he's giving to Reuven. So Reuven says, "Okay, no problem. Take that collateral that I gave you. Find a nachri who wants to lend the money with interest, and bring it to him, and I'll pay the principal and interest." If the Nachri is having a sole reliance only on the collateral, mutter, so then it's mutter. Siv Chav Zayin. Yisrael shehilva le'enu Yehudi al mashkun beribis, kach v'kach l'chodesh. If a Yid lent to a Nachri on collateral that the Nachri gave him at a certain percentage of interest every month, and now comes another Yid. Yid goes to his friend that he wants to borrow the money with this collateral. So Reuven lent the Nachri money based on collateral that the Nachri gave him. And now Reuven is going to Shimon and wants to borrow money against that piece of collateral that belongs to the Nachri. And so now Shimon will be the one who is going to take over the loan, so to say, and now be the one to get the principal and interest. Mutter, so that's allowed. Of all, however, if the interest is already turned into principal at the beginning of the time of the loan. So let's say he was borrowing $500, and they calculated that the time of the loan, based on how many days it was, the interest would end up being $600. So they gave the loan as if it's $600, and it's due in a certain amount of time, meaning the interest was already incorporated into the principal amount. It wasn't being paid monthly as a separate cheshbon. So then, in that situation, it's as if all $600 belonged to the Jewish lender at that point. And now when Reuven, the first Jewish lender, now wants to transfer the mashkin and give it to Shimon to take over the loan, the ribbis can't be going to Shimon anymore. Because it's as if that Reuven is giving the ribbis from his own pocket to Shimon for that loan. So that's something that wouldn't be allowed. Siv Chav Ches. If a Yid has money and he gave it to a Nachri to hold on to, and now that Nachri lent out that money to a Yid with Ribbis. So again, Reuven put $1,000, gave it to the Nachri to hold on to, and now the Nachri lent that $1,000 to Shimon Beribbis. If the Nachri has the credit risk here, that if the loan should go bad, it doesn't make a difference. The Nachri is chayiv to give back the full $1,000 back to Reuven. So then it's mutter, because even though the actual coins were originally Reuven's, and now Shimon is the one who's paying interest, but once the money is given over to the Nachri, and the Nachri has full responsibility for it, and if Shimon should not pay the loan, it doesn't make a difference, the Nachri is still chayv to pay the full amount back to Reuven, so therefore that's allowed. Vim einon v'achrayis einu Yehudi also. However, if the middleman in this situation, if the Nachri does not have the credit risk, and if Shimon does not pay back the loan, so then the guy doesn't have to pay back the loan. So that's also because over here, whose money is it? Again, one of the ways in Ribbis to determine whose money it belongs to is whether or not the person suffers when there's a credit risk issue. So if the Nachri doesn't lose the whole thing if there's a credit problem, so that shows you that whose money it is. It really was the money of Reuven in this example. And the Nachri is just a shliach in between, but the money belongs to Reuven. So Reuven's lending his money and getting, and Shimon is paying ribbis on it. That would be awesome. Lachain, therefore, v'makom sheish kvutzas mois, in a place where they grouped their money together, shvarkes kedaima, sheish liyisroim chelik moneyos behem. So in a situation that he's describing, the predecessor to what we call a bank today, where a bunch of people would get together and they deposit their money together, and each one would own a share of the total money. So you have 10 people, they put in $100 each, and now there's $1,000 in the pot. Yisraelim loving Misham Ribbis, and now that money is lent out to other Yidden with Ribbis. Afal Pisha Mumunim Hema Enim Yehudim, even though the bankers, the people who are giving out the loans, the administrators here are all Nachrim. Mikol Malkum, nevertheless, nearly the Issa Gamahu. It's a complete Issa Ribbis. Because, again, if the loan goes bad, do the managers lose that money and have to pay it back to the depositors? No. It's a situation where the depositors are the one who lose in this example. So, therefore, that's as if the Jewish depositors are lending money to Jewish borrowers who are paying interest. So he says, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to deposit money into those savings accounts or whatever we would call them today, because maybe a Yid will borrow from that, because even though he's not supposed to, because there's Jewish money in there. And so too, you're not allowed to borrow from such a fund, because maybe a Yid is one of the depositors in that institution. So let's bring it up to date with our banks. So if Reuven deposits money into J.P. Morgan Chase, and what happens if J.P. Morgan Chase lends that money out to another Yid with Ribbis, is there a problem over there? And the answer is, well, not in our case, because what happens if the loan the J.P. Morgan Chase lends out to goes bad? Do they still have to give Reuven his deposit money back? If he deposits $1,000, does he get his full $1,000 back? Yes, certainly he does, because he's not doesn't have a chayas on the loan. It's J.P. Morgan Chase that's taking the chayas. So that's the situation, very similar to when there's the Nachri is the one who's in charge. Now you're going to ask and say, okay, fine, that works very well in terms of the depositors. But what about the shareholders of the bank? I'm sure there must be some shareholders that are Jewish from J.P. Morgan Chase. And now, if they own the bank, so they're the ones who have achrayas, meaning if the loan goes bad, they're the ones, the equity holders, the shareholders, they're the ones who take the hit. So then, perhaps, one should have to stay away from borrowing or depositing an institution that has any ownership of Jews that would be lending with ribbis to others. So the answer to that question is that Skamas HaPaiskim is, as we said earlier, in a different day, that ownership is not necessarily based on whether you own a piece of stock in the company. It has to be a stock that gives you some degree of control. If you have no control because you're such a minute player, you're not really an owner. Ownership means that you have some degree of control and decision making that makes a difference. But if your shareholder percentage is one of, you know, out of thousands of percentage, what you do has no bearing on the workings of the company. And if there's a loss, you'll get less profits, your shares might be worth less, but you're not suffering any true loss in value. So therefore, as long as there's a non-controlling Jewish ownership in the institution, so then it's considered like it's a Nachri institution, and therefore a person may deposit and borrow funds from such a situation. An exception to this is, let's say you have a credit union. Now, in credit unions, the way it's set up is every depositor is indeed a shareholder, and it doesn't make a difference if you have more accounts or if you have more money in your accounts. You get one share for every account holder. So if you have one account holder that has $1 million deposited by the credit union and another shareholder that deposits a dollar by the credit union, they both have equal ownership. Now, when we have controlling interest, like we said, one person, let's say, owns 20% of the stock, and all the other 80% shareholders only hold a minute share that individually, so that they, and they're not working as a collective unit, so therefore certainly the 20% shareholder is the one who really owns this company. The other 80% shareholders are just merely investors who are sharing in the profits, but they don't own it because they don't have the control. So in such a situation, if the 20% owners are Yidden, it would be a problem, but if they're Nachrim, so then if you have other, less than half is owned by Yidden, so it's certainly not a problem. However, in a credit union situation where there is no shareholder that has control, the design itself is such that everybody is equal, so then in such a case, we have to say, well, everybody is equal and everyone really does have the same control. There's not somebody else that we can say has the control and the other ones are therefore by default merely investors that that don't have really any ownership, they're just sharing in the profits. No, in a credit union, since everybody is equal, we're forced to say that everybody is an equal shareholder, in which case many places can say that one should certainly stay away from borrowing or depositing into a credit union, and that's much different than a typical bank for the reason described. They also have, sometimes people call up, it's more of a recent thing, they have these online lending clubs where they're not official banks at all, but they do exactly like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is bringing over here, where they take deposits from a lot of people, and then they lend those monies out, and the losses are passed on to the depositors. If you deposit money and they assigned you to a certain loan and that loan wasn't paid back, so then you're the one who's taking that credit risk. So that's certainly a problem, because if there are people who are depositing who are Yidden, then you would not be able to borrow from them. And there are people who are borrowing from them that are Yidden, you wouldn't be able to deposit by them. This is a perfect example of that. Sif Chav Tes. If you have two partners in business, two Yidden, and they need to get a loan for their business, they have a wholesale business, they need to borrow money to finance their working capital. So Yasu Shayos Chacham Echlasis, they should speak to Talmud Chacham to find out how to structure it. What's the problem? What could be the issue? If they're buying, they're going, Reuven and Shimon are partners, they own a business together, and they're going to a bank that belongs to Nachrim in order to borrow money for their to help finance their receivables, say. So what could be the issue? You're borrowing from a Nachri. So again, you have to keep in mind, whenever there's a guarantee from another Yid, that already puts a ribbous aspect to the whole thing. Now, when they're going to borrow from the bank, Reuven and Shimon, the bank's going to say, okay, but we want your personal guarantee that you will pay back the loan. So Reuven and Shimon will sign that they guarantee that the loan will be paid. And if the loan is, let's say, $100,000, they're both guaranteeing that they will pay, $100,000, no matter, you know, whether the bank can get it from Reuven or whether the bank can get it from Shimon, wherever they can find it, they're going to be able to get that money out. So what's going on? And effectively, Reuven is really only a $50,000 partner for this loan, and Shimon's a $50,000 partner for this loan. But when they're guaranteeing $100,000 plus the interest, so now they're guaranteeing the other person's share. Reuven is guaranteeing Shimon's share, and Shimon is guaranteeing Reuven's share. And we said the other day that even if a Nachri lends to a Yid, if there's another Yid who's guaranteeing the principal and interest, so then that's a problem of ribbis. However, if they're only guaranteeing just the principal or just the interest, so that would make it easier. So again, whenever you have partners, that's something, and they're taking a loan, even if it's from a Nachri, so then that's something that they have to look into to structure appropriately. Sif Lamed. Mummer asalil vaismimenu beribis. If someone's a mummer, he doesn't keep Torah and mitzvahs anymore, so you're not allowed to borrow with ribbis from him. Even to lend him with ribbis, one should not do. So a lot of times people say, okay, well, you know, ribbis, fine, they're not going to do that with another from Yid. But sometimes they have Yidden who aren't from, or Yidden who used to be from and aren't. And so can they lend them or lend to them or borrow from them with ribbis? And the answer is no. If the person's a yid, so then you can't do that, even though they don't act like a yid, they don't look like a yid, but if they're a yid, so that's something that's certainly a problem. It can't be done. The question often comes up is sometimes, you know, someone's borrowing from a certain company and they get the names of the owners, and one of the owners has a quasi-sounding Jewish name, and now do they have to worry? Is it a Jewish-owned company or not a Jewish-owned company? These are things that in our days are much easier to quickly check out, usually with information available. One could get a better glimpse as to the person's yichus, but not all the time, in which case you should ask your paisik on Hilchos Ribbis as to how to navigate that. Cult of...